Why do you do all the hard work you do in church communications? In the lesson today, I want to inspire you with a vision and give you practical strategy to create communications that will help your church fully fulfill the Great Commission. Hi, I'm Yvonne Prenn from Effective Church Communications, and we're going to do that today with an overview of the five steps of effective church communications and marketing. Let me start with a question. What is the most important task for you as a church communicator? Is it to produce fascinating content on all the latest social media? Is it to be careful that nothing is printed with a typo? Is it to create brilliant and compelling graphic designs? Now, all these might be important, but the number one incredibly important task that is unique to church communicators is to create communications to help your church fully fulfill the Great Commission. Now, the reason why this is so important is because Jesus commanded us to do this in Matthew 28:18-20, where he said, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you." He didn't say, "Master the latest tech or social media, or wow people with your witty text and fascinating illustrations." Fully fulfilling the Great Commission is the North Star, it's the context, it's the world we work in as church communicators. Everything churches do should revolve around obedience to fully fulfilling the Great Commission. That is our North Star, and it has two parts. Number one, helping people come to know Jesus as Savior, and number two, helping them to become mature disciples. So, how are you and your church doing? Many churches do great on the first part of the command, the go part, or the evangelize, telling people about Jesus, helping them come to know him as Savior. But many churches have a more challenging time with the make disciples part, the part about teaching them everything about the faith until they become a disciple, a mature reflection of their Savior and Lord. And until we do both, we haven't fully fulfilled the Great Commission. That's why I emphasize that little phrase so much, is Jesus gave us this total task to do, and we haven't been completely obedient until we do that. Now, there are lots of plans, lots of ways to do that. Churches and denominations have many programs on how to get people into the church and help them become Christians and grow in the faith. But the challenge is connecting people to those programs. The challenge is how to make the vision that the church has practical. I don't think there's a church in the world that wouldn't say, yes, we want people to come to know Jesus, we want them to grow as disciples, but how to make that real in people's lives? That's the challenge. This is where the work of church communicators comes in. And first of all, you must have a clear program on how to do what I've talked about. And so my next really important question would be, you do have a clear program or plan, don't you? If your church does not have a clear plan for how to move people from outside the church to come to know Jesus as Savior, to grow as a mature disciple, you must have that in place first. A church communicator cannot communicate something that isn't clear to the leadership of the church. Otherwise, you'll be all over the place in your church, in your communications. You'll try this program, you'll try that program. This is going on, that's going on. Nothing really relates to anything else. Now, there are many resources out there. Purpose Driven is one that my husband and I have used very successfully in the past, but there are really good denominational ones. It doesn't matter which program you use. Just get one that works and work that program. Now, with that plan in place, that's where church communicators become the key to Great Commission success. The work that church communicators do is extraordinarily important in fully fulfilling the Great Commission, because what you communicate, how you link people with the programs that will help them come to know the Lord and grow to spiritual maturity, that can change the eternal destiny of the people in your audience, your community, and your church. But how to do that? This is where the five steps of effective church communications and marketing comes in. This will help you do that. And let me take just a minute to tell you how this whole thing came about. When I came up with this, my husband was a single adult pastor, and I did the communications and helped in the teaching in our ministry. And to grow our ministry in numbers and our people as disciples, we read lots of books and we went to lots of conferences and we just did all that kind of thing. We love the conferences. We love the inspiring speakers. However, after a while, I realized that there was little application for both medium and small-sized churches, which is what it seemed that we had worked with mostly in our pastoral careers, that didn't have a huge staff and a big budget to implement their great ideas. You'd go to these churches, and these people who were communicators at, 10,000 member churches would say, now this is what you need to do. And I just got kind of really tired of that. They talked about how successful they were, but, I would remember sitting there thinking, well, yeah, I could be successful too if I had that kind of budget and a bazillion people helping and all that. At one conference, I was just so upset with them talking about how great they were and how it worked for them and all that kind of stuff. I had to leave the particular meeting, but it was a huge meeting. Of course, nobody noticed that I left. But I went to an empty building there on the church campus, and I prayed and prayed. I said, Lord, just help me. Give me insight on how to make this work at our church, and not only at our church, but the context of this also, I had also been traveling all around North America teaching churches how to use the computer for their communications. Desktop publishing in the church was still fairly new, and churches needed to learn how to design, write, and do all those skills with the computer. And I did that, but somehow I hadn't really connected that with what I knew about marketing. And that day, just a lot of the things that I had been working on all came together. And I, in this little tent thing there on this church campus, I came up with a strategic and sequential plan of church communications that would take people from outside the church and grow them into mature disciples. The five steps, that was the basic core of it. I've changed it, modified it a little bit over the years, but it's still basically the same thing. It's been out there now for many years, and it has been used by churches all over the world. And the feedback is that this plan, whether you implement it in part or in whole, whether you just get some ideas from it, whatever you do, it works with any size church, any budget, or actually no budget, because I'm not asking you to buy anything. You can get it all from the free stuff that I have. I do have a few resources that I charge very, very little for, but really, you don't even need them. And it really works in any church, and it's something that you can do. You don't need to hire people. You don't need to buy expensive communications. You can do it all. And here it is, the five steps of effective church communications and marketing. Again, this is a strategic and sequential plan that will enable your church to create communications that fully fulfill the Great Commission. It will give focus and purpose to your church communications ministry. The five steps are invite, inform, include, instruct, and inspire. Now, I'm going to go over them very briefly, and then in the rest of this presentation, I'll talk about the key communications that you need at each step and tips on how to make the most of them. Okay, step number one, invite. Obviously, your audience, you want to invite unchurched people into the church. You want them to discover the church, visit the church or a church-sponsored event, either online or in person. Then, step two, inform. Once you get them there, you want to tell them about your church and about the Christian faith. You want them to connect with the church, and you want them to experience personal salvation. Step three, include. You want them to become church members. You want them to participate in activities outside Sunday or the main service. This is super important. If all people do, and sadly, this is where a lot of people get stuck today, is they just get people attending the church, but they don't really include them in the church body. So this step is super, super important, and I'll give you some tips on it in a few minutes. Then once you get them involved in things, you want to instruct them. They need to learn God's word and the basic doctrines of the Christian faith. You want them to participate both in corporate training and private study. You want them to become mature believers. This is where they become disciples. And then finally, step five, you want to inspire them. You want them to integrate their faith into all of life as shown by their character, witness, giving, and service to the local church community and missions. Now, I have a chart on this on the website. Actually, I have different versions of it. I've simplified it recently, but you can just go to the www.effectivechurch.com website and download it. It's free for you. And it's really interesting because a lot of times, even though now I'm going to go into more detail on it, when people simply see this chart, especially leadership in the church or people that where they're all over the place on their communications, just seeing the basic chart, people go, oh, okay, I understand, I get it. And so use it however you want to. It's yours for the asking. Now, for more in-depth, I do have a book that goes along with it, The 5 Steps of Effective Church Communications and Marketing. It's available both as an ebook and in paperback. And when you purchase the ebook, which is, again, really, really cheap, I have the links for it on my website. You can make as many copies as you want. On all of the books that I talk about, and I only talk about my own material, I don't do any outside advertising, I don't participate in any affiliate programs. Anything that you purchase from me, you have my permission. I am the writer, the publisher, whatever, such as it is. Be prepared for a few typos here and there. But I give you permission to make as many copies as you want so that everybody's on the literally on the same page in doing church communications. Again, all of the links to it and other resources are on the www.effectivechurch.com website. One caveat, one disclaimer as we continue in this lesson is this is a strategy lesson. It is not a design lesson. Strategy is timeless. Design ideals are constantly changing. You'll see examples of things that I've designed, and I have literally hundreds of free templates for you. But you might not like my templates. You might think, oh boy, is she bad. Or you might think, wow, those are the neatest things I've ever seen. Regardless, and you can use these, but you can also download, modify them, whatever. But I strongly recommend that you create the designs for your church. We have so many great tools out there. Canva is wonderful these days. There's just lots of great stuff you can use. But keep in mind that design depends on your audience, your people, whatever. Strategy is timeless, and that's what I want to teach you. Now, before we start, before we start on the different steps, we've already been into this a little bit. It's really important for each step that you understand that each one is accomplished by a variety of communications in both print and digital formats. You need both. Please do not argue in your church about, oh, it's a time, everything's going digital, or no, we have to print. It's both and. It's not either or. You need both in this time of multi-channel communications because you want to meet the needs of everyone in your church. Some people will only look at their phones. If it isn't on their phone, it doesn't exist. There's no reality. Other people, they just think that people glued to their phones are just crazy and rude and they want it in paper. If it isn't in paper, it doesn't exist for them. It's not easy creating communications for everyone in the church, but that's part of being a servant of Jesus. He cared about the least of these. And today, A lot of times the least of these means the people who are the least technologically savvy, but we want to care for them and love them and inform them also. So next, let's just jump right in. The start of the process, step one. Step one, invite. Our audience are unchurched people. Our goals here, we want them to discover the church and attend the church, a church-sponsored event, either in person or online, or at least look at and interact with the church's website, social media, or a virtual event. Now, our key communications at this point, the website. Your website is your anchor. It is your hub. It is the thing that all the other social media should link to and go back to and all that kind of thing. It must be up to date and visitor friendly. Please constantly check to make sure the links work. Don't make it insider only. I cannot tell you how many church websites, and I'm sorry, but it's across the board, all of them. They don't make sense unless you're an insider. People will ask me to look at something, and invariably nowadays with all the tools people have, I'll go, oh, that looks really good. That's a great looking site. But in looking at the website, do I really learn anything about their church, anything about the staff, anything about what they believe? Usually the answer is very little. And I see tons of outdated things, things that don't make sense, stuff that isn't explained fully. I don't want to beat up on you, but people, if we're going to reach the world, we have got to do better on our websites. Moving along, though, I've got other lessons and all kinds of other things on that. But another key communication at this point are your business cards, invitations, paper ones, or virtual. And what's important about business cards and other invitations is that you make them up so that the entire congregation distributes them. Postcards can either be given out or downloadable to the congregation, where the congregation addresses and emails them. It's kind of interesting. I just received a big advertisement from a national company, and they were going, postcards are really in again. Well, they actually never went out. If you read the secular press on advertising, postcards have always been incredibly successful. But church, this company, of course, wants you to buy theirs and use their mailing service and just spend bazillions of money. But what I tell churches all the time, so much better. Make up the postcards in the church office Sunday morning, pass out to each person 5 postcards. Pastor stands up and says, you see that you got 5 postcards when you came in today. Now, here's what I want you to do. I want you to really think about it, pray about it, and then address it or give it to 5 friends that you want to invite to our Easter service. You put the stamps on them, and if everybody does that, we're going to have a huge turnout, and you'll know the names of the visitors that come on Easter Sunday. Lots of churches have done that, and it is incredibly successful if you do. And then, of course, at this step, your social media is also really important. Now, your communication focus, as I said earlier, business cards and invitations. I have some samples, some pictures of them on the website. And again, not only is it less expensive for you if you give them out to your people and they address and send them, but you see, it also is training your people in outreach. You don't want them to think that the church simply buys outreach. You want them involved in it. I have an additional resource that I think might be really useful to you. It's an ebook on invitation cards. And the reason that church business and invitation cards are so important, I was thinking about this the other day, and even today, when you watch television, think about the latest cop show or whatever that you've seen, where they will be interviewing someone and someone doesn't want to tell them a whole lot, and then invariably the lead character will pull out a business card and say, well, if you think about this, give me a call. And what is really interesting to me is that is just to me an affirmation of how people respond well to a printed way to communicate. The police person doesn't say, call my cell phone or check me out on social media or whatever. We need that tangible, touchable resource. And in the same way, if you meet someone, say in the grocery store or whatever, you invite them to church, a business card that tells about your church can be really invaluable. They are tiny but powerful communication tools. And then for your social media, for step one, one of the things that you might think about doing is doing what I call micro blogs on Instagram. With Instagram, and you can check out my Instagram right now if you're listening to this in, what is it, it's March of 2022. I actually am in the middle of doing a whole series of things on Lent for people, but typically I'll put a verse or a thought-provoking something or other, and then I write a little commentary on it. And with Instagram, a lot of people don't realize that you actually, on your caption, can have 365 words. I mean, that's a lot. And yes, you can just share pictures or whatever, but make use of that caption space. You can do a lot with it. Now, some additional tips for making the most of step one, inviting. Many churches stop at step one thinking that getting people to the church or an event is the primary goal, but that is just the start of the process. You must continue for lasting connections. And seasonal events are a great way to get this process started. To help you do that, there are lots of resources that I have from Effective Church Communications. Again, free resources, and I have additional videos, lessons, all sorts of things, plus an entire ebook and lesson on successful seasonal strategies, and then additional ones for what you can do for each one of the holidays. Okay, now we've invited people, but what do you do with the people who show up? That is step two. You've got to inform them of what's going on. Your audience here, it's your visitors and casual attenders. Your goals, you want to keep them. Statistically, many do not return after their first visit, and various studies show that it's anywhere from 90% to 60%, 60% to 90%, however you want to say it, do not return. You want them, though, to stick around to learn more about the church and the Christian faith, and you want them to connect with the church. And more importantly, you want them to experience personal salvation. Now, the key communications at this point, again, can be either print or online. Your church website continues to be extremely important, because if people visit, they like you, they will go on to your website. People say, oh, nobody looks at it. Visitors do. Visitors look at the communications that you have, and depending upon whether they are complete or clear or whatever, that's what makes a difference on whether they'll come back or not. Your church bulletin, I'll say more about that in a minute, and some of you are turning me off already. Oh, we don't do those anymore. Well, you should, and I'll give you some reasons why. Connection and prayer cards are very important. And all of these things can provide links to your digital resources. Some people, you know, I don't know how they think the church is supposed to know about your digital resources. If your website isn't really clear, if you don't give them a print thing or whatever, they won't even know what digital resources you have. And again, on all of them, be sure they are current and welcoming. Now, a communication focus here, connection and prayer cards. You need a way to reach back to visitors. If they don't give you information, you won't know they were there. One thing that I think is incredibly important for these is that you ask for prayer requests. It's your way of giving back to people. It's not just sort of another what I call spam request. Oh, give us your information so we can spam you with emails or phone calls or whatever. When you ask for a prayer request, you give people a reason to turn it in. And you know, we've used these very, very successfully in everything from churches to small groups. When you ask for a prayer request, you could even make it anonymous, but it somehow connects people with the church and can be very, very powerful. You can do it again. There are numerous ways today, online, in print, although print really sort of seems to work for everybody. Here are some tips on how to collect the most connection cards. Remember, visitors don't want to be recognized. Most churches realize that, but that also means don't ask people to take the card somewhere. Seriously, a gift from the church, you know, that might not really appeal to people. It might not be a motivator unless you say up front, we have chocolates for you or a Starbucks coupon or something like that. And some churches do that. But other than that, it's if a person just wants to be anonymous and check things out, they're not going to take it to a visitor center. I've also heard churches say something like, find a staff member and give it to them. I'm sorry, but they don't know who the staff members are. And we sometimes forget that. And they're not just going to be looking at their name tags and or whatever. Just ask them to put it into the offering if you pass it around. Now here's what really works well, and if you do this you will get so many more turned back in, and that is if you do it at the end of the service. You can ask for feedback, you can ask for prayer requests then, you can ask for a response of what you've talked about. And we have found that churches that do that at the end of the service, and then they pass a basket or a box or whatever that around, get a really high return, a really high response from people. And I have a book, an ebook on connection cards that will give you lots more ideas. Now, don't forget the church bulletin. I know some of you are going, what? But not your grandma's church bulletin, but think a very contemporary design, maybe just one page, really kind of upbeat. Think of it as the program or the menu. If you walk into a restaurant and they just say, well, just follow along with whatever, and you know, I guess some restaurants do that, you might think, well, okay, but we expect a menu when we go to a restaurant. When you go to a play or a concert, you expect a program. If you don't give people that, your service can be really confusing and off-putting, or at best, it just won't make sense to people. For the people in your church, it can help them remember upcoming events. A number of churches have a flyer or a page or whatever that they call a refrigerator reminder, and they remind people to put it on their refrigerator. In addition to that, your church bulletin may be the first piece of Christian literature an unchurched person sees, and it can have an incredible impact on them. Don't let it be the last. Be careful of insider jargon, incomplete communication. Here are some tips for step two in forming people. Never underestimate what people don't know about Jesus, the Christian faith, your church, and denomination, or what is going on in the service. Mark Mecklenburg said, we need to remember that for an unchurched person to visit your church, it's like going to visit a Buddhist temple. We don't know what's going on. Think about how your service and traditions appear to completely unchurched people, and that includes virtual ones. It just might not make sense. And even if you think, oh, we're not a liturgical church, our church makes perfectly good sense, consider a person walks into this auditorium, they sit down, they're sort of minding their own business, then they don't know what's going to happen because they weren't given anything, then all of a sudden the lights are turned off, everybody jumps up and starts singing songs they don't know, and what's even more strange, now they might have the words reproduced up online, but the church leader, the song person who's leading the songs, may or may not follow along with it, and the people sing it, and then they sing the same song again, and then they repeat it again, and then they repeat it again, and that person is probably thinking, how long is this going to go on? And that can go on for 15 minutes, half an hour. That is really uncomfortable to someone who is not used to it. And so we need to think about, now, how can we make people comfortable with that? I have seen, and in my book on, I've got a number of handouts, booklets, articles, all sorts of things on church bulletins that will help you more. But I do share the example of this one church that gave people a bulletin when they walked in, and on the cover it said, you know, welcome to our church. We're so glad you're here. Now, we're going to start out with about 15 minutes of singing. Feel free to sit, stand, sing, dance, whatever you want to do. Join in or not, but we're just praising Jesus. Then we're going to have a short talk by the pastor, and then afterwards, we're going to collect an offering. Now, don't feel like you have to participate. This is just for church members. We want you to be our guest. Afterwards, we've got coffee and cookies on the patio, and we're so glad you're here. That's all it said. It was really simple. It was really easy, but it was very welcoming and told the person what was going on. The point is, don't assume they know what you are doing or who you are. You might even have a secret shopper visit your church and give you feedback. You also, in your bulletin, from the pulpit, on your website, always clarify the meaning of salvation and realize that multiple exposures may be needed in many communication channels for people to come to know Jesus as Savior and or to connect with your church. Now, I have numerous additional resources. Again, my ebooks on church connection cards. And then I have a whole selection of ebooks on church bulletins. Please check them out. Download them. The main one is, aren't social media, church apps, and texting enough, or are printed bulletins still needed in the church? And then one on my archive of articles on them and additional things, just all sorts of material to help you perhaps create a communication piece that can be very, very helpful to your church visitors. Now, step three. This is include, and I warn you, this is where it gets hard. Many church ministries do little past the first two things. Now, on including, our audience consists of attenders and new believers. The goals, we want them to participate in activities outside Sunday or the main service, in person or online. We want them to become involved in ministries and small groups, and we want them to become church members. Our key communications, this is where we shift to internal marketing. Previously, we've been focused on external marketing. Here, it's internal marketing in all the different channels. Ministry and life stage communications are really important at this point. And again, the challenge of both in-person and virtual, printed and digital. You need to have both. Now, the communication focus here is specific ministry communications, life stage communications. Children's ones, you can have handouts to parents, you can have registration cards, you can have all kinds of different things. You really need specific communications for children's ministry, women's ministry, men's ministry, and missions. Now, all are needed. And to create all that need to be created, you really need to train additional communication volunteers. I have that. I have a whole system for doing that in my two levels of church communication creation. But just know that if you want people to move into the different stages of involvement in your church, you've got to tell them about them. The foundation, of course, for involving people is you must have a plan for spiritual growth. People don't know what they need to do next to grow in their faith or why they should even care. It won't happen automatically. Just telling them to join a small group, that isn't a plan. You can't communicate, though, what you don't have. Once again, purpose-driven, various spiritual formation plans, whatever denominational system you have a plan and then communicate that plan continuously. Make sure the staff and the congregation know the plan and is excited about it. Now, tips for stage number three. The biggest danger at this stage is for the church staff to say to each other, oh, everybody knows either about how to join a small group or what they need to do next or how to get baptized or whatever it is. No, they don't. And even if they did before the pandemic, trust me, they've forgotten. Remarket, remind, repeat. Internal marketing is what we continuously have to do. The five W's we continuously must repeat. What is it? What's going on? Who's involved? Who's it for? Who's leading it? When? What day? What time? Whatever. Where? And please, people, give people directions for your church. Some churches have like their buildings numbered or their floors numbered or, you know, whatever, or they just have old names for things. Visitors don't know. New members don't know. Infrequent attenders don't know. Be very clear. And then the most important one of all, the why. Why should I care? What's in it for me? You've got to answer those questions for people. Next, the most important thing you can do to make disciples is step four, you need to instruct them. The audience here, it's believers in Jesus, and I've also found in a lot of the training classes that I do, interested seekers. The goals here, you want them to learn God's word and the basic doctrines of the Christian faith. You want them to participate in corporate training, private study, in person or virtual. You want them to become mature believers, able to defend and share their faith. Now, key communications here, I think the most important thing is Bible reading material, getting your people into God's word. And I cannot recommend enough helping your people go through the entire Bible. They don't have to read it. They can listen to it. A lot of people today, they'll say, well, I don't like to read. I'll say, well, do you listen to iTunes? Do you listen to your podcast? Do you listen to music online? Whatever. You know, you can listen to the Bible. That's how people took in the Word of God for most of Christian history. Do that today. It's so important because since the days of Jesus, when he told people this, the same thing is true, and that is people are in error because they don't know the scriptures or the power of God. The world does not teach you how to be a disciple. Believers must learn the Bible. And I think the most important thing that you can do for your people is to get them to read through the Bible in chronological order. It's a challenge and it's hard, but it's also absolutely essential. I have another website, www.bible805.com, and on it I have links to podcasts, videos, ebooks. I have an ebook that is completely free. I have it actually available on all my different sites. It's entitled Not Safe, But Good: Why It's Important to Read Your Bible in Chronological Order and How to Do It. I have free schedules and just everything that you would need to get your people to read their Bibles in chronological order. I frequently teach classes on this. I have online classes, and trust me, it will be the most life-changing thing that your people can do. Now, some more tips for this step number four, instruct. Provide multimedia communication for all your training. Give people good notes. Give them good online resources. Of course, check them out first. Social media follow-up on reading through your Bible. Give them Bible reading schedules, journal pages, videos, podcasts. And I have all of those for you. They're all free. The links are on www.bible805.com. In case you can't tell, I'm absolutely passionate about this. And because all of the resources to do it are free, you can do this for your church. Work hard to create a culture of learning and growing in your faith in your church. It will be an exciting, wonderful thing. And you see, when people are mature Christians, then they will naturally just reach out to others and, of course, be growing yourself. Next, pray that their lives become the message. This is where we inspire people. Our audience is maturing disciples because it's a process none of us have ever arrived. Our goals, we want to inspire our people to integrate their faith into all of life. We want them to develop their Christian character and witness. We want them to participate in service to the local church, community, and missions. Key communications here are our volunteer communications. Don't take anything for granted. People who didn't grow up in the church have no idea what church jobs mean or what they do. So you need to be very clear what it is and who can and cannot be involved. If there's screening for children's ministry, make that clear. Some jobs are for members only. In some churches, there are just all kinds of different requirements. Just make those clear, because you don't want someone who's new in the faith or new in the church to get really excited and volunteer for something and say, well, you can't do it. That's not nice. Job requirements, descriptions, training, make it detailed. Give them complete information. That's truly essential. And on the Effective Church Communications website, I've got some great examples of volunteer handbooks and materials. Also, a number of free templates for thank you cards and inspiration that you can send out to your people. Some additional tips for number 5. Communicate needs by sharing benefits, not piling on guilt. For example, in the children's ministry, share stories of fun and helping little kids. Don't get up there and say something like, if we don't get some more people to help in the children's ministry, we're shutting it down. By next week, we're shutting it down. You can have all the screaming kids here in the service. Just see how you like that. Now, people probably wouldn't say it exactly like that, but instead, you know, something like, it is so exciting and such a privilege to help our young people grow and know Jesus. We'd love to have you join us. We're going to give you plenty of training. We have people work just 2 weeks at a time. You know, whatever it is, make it positive, make it upbeat. Inviting unchurched people to help serve is a great way to introduce them to the church. Now, of course, you don't want them perhaps doing any kind of ministry sorts of things where they would need to be sharing faith that they don't have yet. But if you do a Habitat for Humanity build or you do a community outreach, unchurched people love to volunteer oftentimes. And this can be a great way to introduce them to the church and to the people in the church. Focus on the joy of living a fully congruent life as a disciple of Jesus. We're almost done. We're almost there. But just a couple of tips on what to do next. For implementing all of that I've told you about, you need 2 levels of church communication production. Level 1 is what I call the PR level. Level 2 is the ministry production level. Now, I'm just going to quickly explain it. I've got lots more on the website. Level 1. This is what I call the PR production level. This includes communications that represent the entire church. The overall website, the bulletin, perhaps the newsletters, some PR, social media, etc. This is high quality. This is staff created. It's very tightly controlled. Professional quality production. Sometimes even vendors produce some of it. I'm not thrilled about that. I would much rather you teach people in your church, but you may need to sometimes use an outside vendor. Level 2. Now, this is what a lot of churches really need to expand. This is the ministry production level. This includes the support publications for all the ministries in the church. It can be staff produced, but volunteers can also create it. Production editing quality, it's not the same as a PR level. Sending out a postcard just to the guys for a Saturday workday or an email out to volunteers for something or whatever, it doesn't have to be really fancy and really professionally done. It just needs to get the communication out there. Invitation cards, postcards, most social media, it doesn't need to be a big deal production. Children's, women's, other ministry communications, you ideally need someone within the ministry to do those communications. They know the ministry best. They care the most. They should be the ones to communicate it. And also, too, the church staff communication people shouldn't have to have that piled on to what is usually already an overwhelming amount of work. There's lots more advice and encouragement that I have for you in this. I have the ebook on Divide Your Church Communication into Two Production Levels. I have all sorts of encouraging cards and just the training too that is free for you. You can pass on to your volunteers. Now, let's review the five steps. Instead of random communications created when the need arises or created because you've just always done them, you now have a progressive and strategic plan that will enable your church to create communications to fully fulfill the Great Commissions. Step one, you've invited people into the church. Step two, you've informed them about what is going on in the church. Step three, you're including them in the activities of the church and particularly in those outside Sunday morning. Step four, you are instructing them in the faith. And step five, you are building them to be mature disciples by inspiring them to integrate their faith into all of their lives. Plus, you've learned the two levels of production, the PR, and then simply producing it on the ministry level to get it all done. Now, it's still a lot of work, but it's worth it because the five steps will help you fully fulfill the Great Commission. You and your church will be obedient to Jesus by finishing the work you're called to do. It will give you and your church communications ministry a vision and strength for why you do what you do. Run in such a way as to get the prize, 1 Corinthians 9:24 tells us. And to help you get there, I've got lots more tools, courses, free templates, ebooks, and all of those things for you at www.effectivechurchcom.com. Finally, run your race well. Be encouraged with these promises, and surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. That's what Jesus promised after he gave his disciples the Great Commission. He gave them a ton of work to do, but he said he'd be with them every step of the way. And then I love this verse. To me, this is the key verse for church communicators. And those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness, which is what you're doing with your church communications, like the stars forever and ever. Church communications is a glorious calling. Work at it worthily and well. For lots more training, for links to all sorts of things, podcasts, videos, lessons, ebooks, templates, all kinds of things, go to www.effectivechurchcom.com. And now may the Lord bless you, give you joy, peace, strength, and wisdom as you serve Him today in church communications.